On this Friday, we'll turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Good afternoon, Eric. Let's get straight into this because there are a lot of things to discuss. And I'd like to begin with the cold temperatures. What did you make of them?
Well, it was a pretty rare event, wasn't it? I mean, we saw some of the coldest air that I've seen at this point in September in a very long time come out of the Canadian prairies. And it cut right there along the course of the Rocky Mountains, the High Plains, but gave a frost to north parts of North Dakota, parts of western South Dakota, but hit western Nebraska pretty hard as well. So, you know, when we look back over the last 40 years, getting a frost in that area, it's only happened a handful of times. So this early in the season. And it kind of stretched itself out over 3 days. And if we remember back to last weekend, that same area was hitting temperatures in the 90 to 100 degree mark. So it was certainly one of those really, really interesting events where up to 70 degrees of temperature swing inside of a few days. So the impact on corn, the problem is that unless we were growing very short, you know, variety of corn up in North Dakota, then it was certainly going to get dinged before they reached even maybe 1900 to 2000 GDUs. So we're going to probably see some problems coming out of the corn report in North Dakota.
Do you see rainfall as a problem in the next week or so?
Well, yeah. And so it's one of those things that if I could have dialed this up a month ago, I would have, because as it came through this cutoff low that's now moving finally out of Colorado today, it's going to be bringing in great rains. It's already done it in parts of Nebraska and Kansas. It's moving now into Iowa over the next 24 hours or so. And then it's going to move into Wisconsin, hitting those areas that are very, very dry. So what's going to be bad is we're going to go back and look at this statistically and see this event, and it's going to raise all those soil moisture values. But we have to remember how dry it did get in parts of Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, as the growing season was finishing out in those areas.
Okay, so let me put the two things together then. Are we looking at a seasonal change?
Yeah, so what I've noticed here is that, myself included, we had forecast the end of September to be a recovery, go back up to above average temperatures, probably, especially out in the west, where, of course, the fires have just been prolific. I've never seen smoke like I have seen in the western United States over the last week or so. But some new indications here maybe are that the end of the end of the month comes in closer to average, maybe even at times some cooler shots of air. And I'll say that initially, I didn't see that being the way things were going to play out. The unfortunate part of this is that that same pattern might be actually quite conducive to letting more tropical cyclones in.
Well, let's talk about that, because I was going to go to the tropical area next. It tends to drive the weather in our part of the world sometimes.
Yeah.
What do you hear?
Well, so today, yesterday, this 2 day time period is technically the peak of the climatological peak of the hurricane season. So we still have the whole second half of it to go. And we may be watching the development of Tropical Storm Sally, or could become Hurricane Sally, off of the west coast of Africa right now. That's the one I am most concerned about. So it's still 10 days away, 12 days away from being impactful in the United States. But Paulette and Renee are going to stay out in the open ocean. There will be some problems across the Cotton Belt with a system that's going to cut across Florida. It's not yet named, but it's going to come across Florida over the weekend. So what I'm concerned about is, should this system that was just emerged off of Africa somehow in the next 10 to 12 days find itself in the Gulf, the steering currents will allow it to really come right up the gut of the Mississippi. So this is all way out there, no certainty, but I want everyone to know that it's something I'll be watching. And next Friday when we talk again, we'll have a better update on it.
Anything from the Southern Hemisphere as we wrap up our time together?
Yeah, so this La Nina is really gaining strength quickly. You know, over the last couple of weeks, you and I have been talking about it, it's starting to show signs of life. Now, all of a sudden, it seems to be the most dominant factor in our global circulation. So why that's important is, we tend to find that La Niñas, when they're developing at this time of year, tend to delay the onset of rains in South America. Now, we're seeing that throughout the month of September. So again, the narrative is no early rapid planting in Brazil's northern growing areas. And remember, they're allowed to start planting after the 15th of the month. Now, from there, what I'm concerned about is if this La Niña has the legs to stick around for fall, winter, and spring for us, then down there, it's going to probably have its greatest influence on the southern Brazil and Argentinian rainfall. So I want to put a bug in everyone's ear to be watching, not necessarily northern Brazil, but southern Brazil and Argentina for possibly having some drought issues this year. It's just something to think about, not real high confidence, but that's typical of a La Niña to do that.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions.